Come out of the world, oh my people, seek the truth.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instruction of our Creator and putting His Word into action, from suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show and your host, Paul Neeson.
Hello, everybody. This is Paul Neeson with Torah Life Ministries. Thank you for tuning into the show, Torah Life Ministries. Torah is not a Jewish word, folks. Torah means the first five books of the Bible. And the Bible doesn't start in the Gospels. The Bible starts in the book of Genesis. And the Torah is the guidelines and instructions of our Creator, the will that our Creator had for us when He formed us in the womb, when He said He knows every hair on our head. He says, I had a plan for you. I have a plan for you. And it's for good and not disaster, to give you a future and give you a hope. Well, that plan is found in His instructions. It's His plan for how to us to carry out our lives as believers. And He continues that plan all throughout the scriptures, but it always comes back to the foundation. And that's what the Torah is. So that's why we call it Torah Life Ministries. And you're welcome to check out a bunch of other videos on my website, TorahLifeMinistries.org, and check it out. So today I want to talk about a lot of misconceptions that many believers have when it comes to the guidelines and instructions of our Creator, because many Christians have an issue with the Bibles they're reading, the translations of the Bible they're reading. Now, I think every translation of the Bible is wonderful as long as it's proclaiming Yeshua, the one you call Jesus, as who He says He is, the Messiah and the Savior. It's by His blood, His shed blood, that we are freed and set free and have another chance to get things right. Hallelujah. Praise our wonderful Creator for giving us this wonderful gift. But the problem is, the translations many people are reading are confusing the message. They're teaching a message that Yeshua died for us, so His blood saved us, so we can go living in sin. We don't have to do anything different. We can continue to love the world and be part of the world, but the only difference is now we have Yeshua, that we've accepted Him with our lips, the one you call Jesus. But that's not what the Bible teaches, folks. And the problem is, it's a translation problem. And people ask me all the time, well, what translation of the Bible do I believe is the best translation? And that's why I say, first off, does it proclaim Yeshua, the one you call Jesus, as the Messiah, the truth, and the only way to salvation? And if somebody says yes, I said, great, that's a pretty good translation, I would say. And they say, well, what about the different names and the different verses and so on in different translations? I say, my biggest issue with every translation of the Bible that I see out there today, no matter what where it comes from, is there's a page that needs to be ripped out, folks. There's a page that needs to be ripped out. And I will submit to you, when you rip this page out, and you read the book, the Bible, without this page in it, you will have a much newer, clearer, better understanding of what our Creator wants to communicate to us, and what Yeshua, the one you call Jesus, was trying to set out in His example of the life and the way He lived, and also understanding why He did for us what He did. And that page that I am talking about is the page that separates the original covenant from the renewed covenant. Now, because so many people have been going to Christianity and church for so long, they cannot grab the concept of old covenant and renewed covenant. So, and to put it in more Christian terms, you need to rip out the page in your Bible that separates the Old Testament from the New Testament. And when you do that, you will begin to see that it's not two books, folks. It's one book for one people. The Old Testament is not for one type of person, and the New Testament is not for another type of person. The whole Bible, from Genesis all the way to Revelation, is a book of our Creator's instructions on how we are to live our lives, and examples of people who had lived them. They either followed them or they didn't. And it talks about either the consequences, the results, the blessings, and the curses that come along with being obedient to our Creator's guidelines and instructions, or His righteous path, or those who choose the unrighteous path, the wide path, the dark path, without looking for that light. Those that choose unrighteousness and the results and consequences they get. So the Bible is a wonderful his story book about the story of our wonderful Messiah. And it's also a guideline, an instruction book about how we are to set and live our lives, and what we are supposed to do when we make a mistake, what we are supposed to do when we get things right, how we're supposed to act according to fellow man, and so on. That's what it is. And when you start treating the Bible as two separate books and not one book, then we have a big problem. Then we have what I would call today is Christianity. Because that's what they do. Many times they teach the Old Testament, which I call and refer to what it truly is. It's the original covenant. So many times the original covenant, many people think, well, that's for Jewish people. That's only for Jewish people. You know, we're Christians, so we don't need the original covenant or the Old Testament. Well, folks, if you're under that ludicrous thinking, let me just remind you. Our wonderful Messiah, Yeshua, the one you call Jesus, guess what? He was Jewish. And he read and kept and followed the original covenant. And if you are a believer of Yeshua, the one they call Jesus, you should be following what he followed as well and what he taught. It doesn't make sense that this man would come along and teach something, and just because the place it's in, you say, well, I'm not going to follow that, but I still believe in what this guy says. It just doesn't make sense. You should say, well, if he said it, I am going to follow it. Now, the New Testament, which is often referred to, the Renewed Covenant, or even more correctly, the New Testaments of what happens when we live out our Creator's guidelines and instructions, is wonderful. Remember, when Paul told Timothy, all Scripture is profitable for man, guess what he was talking about, folks? He wasn't talking about the New Testament. It wasn't written yet. He was talking about the Torah and the prophets, everything found in what you call the Old Testament. Well, it is old. It is old, but it's the original covenant of our Creator with his original design, his original examples. If you're going to look for something, a copy of something, and you keep getting copies of antiques and copy of antiques and copy of antiques, no, you want to find the original. And when you find the original, that's where the treasure is. And the original treasure is found in the original covenant in the Old Testament. Then we move along to the Renewed Covenant and the New Testament. Remember, it's not two books anymore. It's one book. So the whole book is the Book of Testaments. That's what it is. You know, the original and the renewed. It's a Book of Testaments. And just because we call it or refer to it as New Testament, we're under this thinking of, well, new replaces old. So if we have something new, the old must be done away with. But if you really start studying Scripture, and if you really get down to it, it doesn't say new. It says renewed. And there's a tremendous difference between new and renewed. So now if you have the Old Testament and then the Renewed Testament, you see, when you have a new, you're replacing the old. But when you have a renewed, you're taking that original thing and you're restoring it. You're restoring it. And that's what the Renewed Covenant did. It restored the original covenant. When it says in Jeremiah, I'm taking my word off stone and putting it on your heart. I'm not doing away with the word and giving you a new word. I'm not doing away with these commandments and these guidelines and instructions that says, here's a new information and new things you got to follow. You no longer have to follow those things of the old. He's not doing that. What he is doing is saying, these guidelines and instructions are so important. I am going to take them off paper and put them on your heart. Put them on your heart. I'm not renewing the instructions. What I'm renewing is the location of the instructions. And I'm giving more clarification through it. Because before you only had words. Now you have Yeshua, who is known as the living Torah. The living Torah who's setting the example by walking around and doing it himself. But there's so much deception out there that people don't want to become slaves or followers of the law or follow the customs of our wonderful Creator and the design of our wonderful Creator. That is the problem today. They want to follow man with no problem. Man's customs versus our Creator's design. Pick and choose. Just like it says in the Scriptures, our Creator says, today I give before you life and death. Choose life so you may live. Well, what is life? Yeshua says, I am the way and the truth. And you only find life through me and my ways and my words. Well, he's the living Torah. You have to have a good foundation before you have a pretty house on top. So if you're just going to stick to the Renewed Covenant or the New Testament and throw away the original covenant, or make it two books and say that book's not important. What you're doing is you're building a big, beautiful house in your relationship with Yeshua, the one you call Jesus, but at the same time, you're destroying the foundation in not reading the original covenant or using those instructions. And what's happening, and anyone knows what happens when you have something on a weak foundation. All it takes is a little wind or a little storm from the enemy, and there it goes. It's done. It's down. No, you want to be solid. You want to be solid. And to get solid, you need to have a great foundation, and you need to continue that with a build a beautiful, wonderful relationship with our Messiah Yeshua. You know, so it's not about religion or following a set of instructions. That's what it comes down to, folks. It's about a relationship. That's what it is. It's a relationship. So we think about our wonderful Messiah and where he came from, and we want to learn about his past so we can know, you know, who he is and what he's about. That's what we got in the original covenant. And Yeshua is all throughout the original covenant as well. You know, when he was walking on the road after he came back, you know, the people didn't recognize him. He said, I've been with you. You haven't even recognized me. Just like I was in the original covenant stories. Over and over again, I was there. That was me. I was in the den with Daniel in the lion's den. I was the one in all those different tragedies when things were going on. I was the one. Yeshua is in the original covenant. How dare us as so-called believers to even think that we're going to avoid or throw away these instructions and these stories that are about Yeshua. You know, that's like when a musical artist dies, And they found out that he left out a whole bunch of music tapes and CDs and so on and recordings in his safe in his house, and nobody's heard them yet. So what do we do? Do we say, well, it doesn't matter now. He's gone, so we don't have to, you know, we shouldn't, who cares about what's there? No, with a passion and a desire, because of our worldly flesh, we want to find a way to break open that safe. We'll even go to court and pay millions of dollars if we have to get those unheard documents, those unheard audios, that unheard music by this so-called music superstar. Well, folks, Yeshua left us a vault of amazing guidelines and instructions, amazing information. When it says he got up every Saturday on the Sabbath at the synagogue and taught, he was teaching this information. And there's so much more than we can ever imagine. If we're just looking at the renewed covenant, what you refer to as the New Testament, and we're leaving so much out. I will even submit to you, you cannot properly understand Paul's writings until you understand the original covenant. And when you understand the Torah. So then you got the Torah, this amazing information. And you got the average Christian walking into a church, being told by their pastor, you don't have to worry about those amazing documents and historical records that Yeshua, our own Messiah, the one you call Jesus, gave us. You don't have to worry about that. As a matter of fact, we're not worrying about them either. We're just going to follow these few new things in the renewed covenant or the New Testament. You can't understand these things until you actually have seen the original. And I give the example all the time. You're not going to understand unless you understand the foundation, and that is the scriptures. That's where it comes from. You know, so we should have a desire to do two things. We need to take our Bibles, and we need to do it's a Bible circumcision. Take your Bibles and rip out the page that separates the Old and the New Testament. So that's one thing you need to do. Now another thing you need to do is you need to pray to the Father and thank him for his complete word to guide you and to show you what to do and how to live. And ask him to open your eyes to things that you have never seen before in his word. Tell him it's your desire to build a strong foundation. Show him by learning and living it out. You have to understand this, folks. We're saved only by the blood of Yeshua, the one you call Jesus. That's the only way a man can have salvation. It's not and will never be by doing something, by doing works. We're not saved by works. We're saved by his blood. But I will submit to you, if you are truly saved, you should have every desire in every single cell in your body to go out there and do the guidelines and instructions that he has written down in his word. So I know a lot of people that didn't see this before, but they prayed that prayer. Their eyes were open to things that they'd never seen before. And their whole life, now take it, their Christian life, because many of them were Christians for a long time, had taken a complete radical change for the scriptures or for Yeshua or back to Yahweh's word. The issue is, there's so many Christians out there that are deceived and their eyes have not been opened. As a matter of fact, they think what they're doing is just fine by ignoring this strong foundation, and they're trying to tell others the same thing. And even pastors are saying these things, and people start believing these things. Let me give you an example of something people believe. I get emails all the time, so I know what people are thinking. I know a lot of people. So somebody emailed me this recently, and it just shows you the misguided, misunderstood, deceptive message that Satan somehow gets to people's minds, and they start believing this junk. Now, what I'm about to read, folks, is not true. I am just reading it to comment on it, because this is what I see many people having an issue with, many Christians. So somebody wrote to me, they said, the fact of the matter is that Sabbath keeping, which, by the way, folks, is the fourth commandment. So I don't know if you know your Ten Commandments, but the fourth one says, thou shall keep the Sabbath holy. Recently, I was street preaching somewhere, and somebody says, they go to church on Sunday. I said, okay, well, what does that have to do with the Sabbath? You know, so you can go to church every day of the week, folks, but it says, thou shall keep the Sabbath holy. Their Sabbath shall be put apart. The Sabbath is Saturday. You shall do no work or make other people work on that day. That is a day to rest, spend with our Creator, and also to fellowship. Now, people might say, well, I could do that every day. Yes, you could, but do it on a day you're commanded to if you want the blessings. Do it on a day you're commanded to if you want to avoid the consequences of the curse. Do it on a way you're commanded to for the simple reason that He told us to, and He showed us to. And the commandment is talking about more than any other commandment in all of the scripture, the fourth commandment. But let me go back to what this person said. He says, the fact of the matter is that Sabbath keeping was prescribed by our Creator Yahweh to the Jewish people. He goes on to say, this law was never given to Gentiles, nor was it given to the church. And that could not be more incorrect. That is not true. You know, it bewilders me how lack of Bible knowledge, a simple Bible knowledge, so-called believers have. And they state it as fact. This person said, the fact of the matter is that Sabbath keeping was prescribed to the Jewish people. Well, I could tell you this. There are a lot of people in scriptures that weren't Jewish. Judah was only one of 12 tribes. He gave it to Israel. Israel is the ones that got the Sabbath. And you might say you're not Israel, but I'll tell you, you need to read your Bibles and understand. If you believe in Yeshua, our Messiah, the one you call Jesus, you are very indeed Israel. And you're responsible for this. And I'll tell you this as well. When the children were in Egypt, and they were slaves in Egypt, and they came out, and the multitude that came out with them were people from Egypt and other Gentiles that came with them. Every single Gentile or every single non-Israeli person, every Egyptian that came out of Egypt with them, and there were many, were all required to follow and keep the guidelines and instructions of our Creator, and that included the Sabbath. That was the only way you can still stay in the camp. As a matter of fact, not only was breaking the Sabbath a commandment where you're kicked out of the camp, breaking the Sabbath was a commandment that you'd be stoned to death. It was a deathable offense. And that's how important it is to our Creator. Now, I'm not going to go out there and say anyone that's not keeping the Sabbath should be stoned, but I can say if you're not keeping the Sabbath and you call yourself a Christian, you probably are stoned. Do you understand what I'm saying, folks? It's clear in His Word. And when somebody says this was only for the Jewish people, you don't know your Bibles. You don't know your scriptures. This person goes on to say, the law, and he calls it the law, and I'll tell you the instructions of our Creator. And let's give you an example of how the church thinks about these things. His comment was, the law was never given to the Gentiles, nor was it given to the church. The law of Moses was nailed to the cross, and the death of Yeshua it created a new covenant, a covenant written on the heart. And he quotes Jeremiah in Hebrews. And his teaching, Yeshua emphasized 9 of the 10 commandments are explained in scope to apply thought as well to our actions. He never commanded the church to observe the Sabbath. Incorrect, wrong, and that's not true. Let me read this now and tell you how it really should sound. of what this man is trying to say. The fact of the matter is that keeping one of the most important holy things to our Creator, known as the Sabbath, was prescribed only to a small set of people. Our Creator would never give this amazing blessing and this beautiful day of rest and connecting with Him to everyone. He'd only give it to a small group of people. The guidelines and instructions of our Creator He gave us were never given to the so-called non-Jewish people. Only this small group of people were able to get the blessings that went along with keeping the guidelines and instructions, while everyone else out there, everybody that calls himself a Christian, anyone who's anything but Jewish, cannot receive and do the will of our Father. He goes on to say, the guidelines and instructions that was given via Yahweh, our Creator, gave them to Moses, the messenger, and Yeshua, the one you call Jesus, the Messiah, lived them out. But these instructions were done away with or nailed to the cross. So, you know, and it says he gave us a new covenant and new teachings. And Yeshua, our wonderful Messiah, would never tell us to follow his guidelines and instructions. Folks, how ludicrous does that sound to you? That's exactly what this person's saying and the church is saying. And it's so crazy that people would believe this. But this is the enemy's world, and I don't want to keep giving him all the power. But if you're just going to sit back and let him take over, that's what he's going to do. You need to wake up and start reading your scriptures, folks, and understand that we are called to a more excellent way. And that more excellent way begins with our Creator's guidelines and instructions. Yes, having Yeshua as my Messiah is the most important, essential thing one person could do. I would much rather see somebody like a Christian accepting Yeshua, the one you call Jesus, as Messiah and our Savior, and not keeping the guidelines and instructions, than see somebody keeping the guidelines and instructions and denying our Savior. However, in both cases, we are not fulfilling the call that our Creator had for us and how to live our lives. It's only when we understand, we accept as the only way, the truth, and the life, Yeshua, the one they call Jesus, the only way, and then we don't keep the guidelines and instructions, often called as the Torah, but I'll call it the law, but I'll call it the commandments. We don't keep them because we have to, but we desire to keep them because we developed a relationship with Yeshua, and He desired for us to keep them, and we're going to keep them not because we have to, but because we want to, because we have that desire. And when our Creator tells us, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, it's not saying if you don't keep the commandments, you don't love Him. What it's saying is, if you truly believe in my message and in my word, why aren't you going to follow it? If you truly had common sense, if you truly had any sense, you would desire to pick up this book and realize it's not two separate books. It's one book for every man and every single person in this world, no matter where they are, no matter what they call to or call themselves or refer themselves to, no matter what religion they're part of, every single person in this world still, now today, has an opportunity to leave that all behind and accept Yeshua as their Messiah and start living His instructions out. If you're hearing my voice, there's hope for you. There's a possibility. It says in the Bible, in Ezekiel 33:11, I believe it says, I take no pleasure in the death of wicked people. I only want them to change, to turn from their wicked ways, so they can live and have life. That's the desire of our Creator for us. He only wants us to get back to His will. His will for us, that's found in this foundational book, the Torah, the guidelines and instructions. So let me stop using the word Torah. Let me stop using the word law. Let me just say, it is the will of our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, to follow the guidelines that He set for us. And you say, you keep repeating yourself. You keep saying the same thing. When are you going to stop repeating yourself? And I'm going to say, you keep ignoring the message. You keep missing it. When are you going to stop sinning and get down and get right with the guidelines and instructions of our Creator? Try it before you even think about denying it. Don't take a man's idea or word about it in terms of going to your pastor and seeing what he says. And you might say, well, how could my pastor be wrong? And my answer to you is, he is a man. He is a man. And I could tell you, he can be wrong. And I could be wrong, and you could be wrong, because we're all human beings. But I could tell you, our Creator can't be wrong. And when he said, I give you these guidelines and instructions as a statute for you to follow forever, forever, I believe our Creator is much smarter than we are, folks. I believe he knows what's better for us than we know what's better for us ourselves. And I believe he's going to take care of us either way. But I also know what his word says. It says he hates workers of iniquity, but he loves those that love him, those that seek him, those that desire to know his ways. He will open up their eyes, and they were experiencing blessings, not the curses of the average person today, being led astray and doing things they shouldn't be doing according to the word of our Creator. That's why I keep repeating myself. So you get it, so you understand it, so you live it, you feel it. You understand it works and laws, you know, one and not the other. You know, we need the grace and the mercy of Yeshua Messiah. But we also need the action. It says, you know, listen to me in the scriptures. The scripture says, listen to me and do as I say. It doesn't just say, listen to me. It says, listen to me and do as I say. The word do, underline it, circle it, highlight it. That is an action word. We actually have to do something. That's the commandment. Listen to me and do as I say. And it goes on saying, you will be blessed abundantly with a long life of peace and shalom. How many of you want that? We have that opportunity. But more important is not about what we're getting for keeping the guidelines and instruction. More important is about where we're going. And more important is about our relationship with our wonderful King and our Messiah. He wants us to store up our treasures up in heaven. And when you're following the guidelines and instruction of our Creator, and you're referring to the Bible as one book and not two, you are storing treasures up in heaven, because you are teaching yourself something that nobody can take away from you. That is the wisdom and knowledge of our Creator's guidelines and instructions. So I want to encourage you all to read your Bibles. Read and repent is my message for you today. Read and repent. Read your Bibles. Repent for missing this stuff for so long. Ask our Creator to open your eyes so you'll see things that you've never seen before in His Word. And turn to the original covenant. And don't get caught up with names and places. Just read them, read them, read them. Don't skip them over. Read them, read them, and ask Him to show you. And ask Him to tell you. And He will bless you. Folks, thanks for checking out the show today. I'll be back next week, same station or website where you're hearing this. And you can contact me through the phone number, which will be on here in a moment. Until then, everybody, thank you so much. And may our Creator bless you in your efforts to build your foundation. Shalom, shalom.
You've been listening to the Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Neeson. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to P.O. Box 5503, Lake Worth, Florida, 33466. Thank you for your prayers and support. Torah Life Ministry.
Pirates Cove Resort is a perfect place for business or pleasure, for families or fishermen, for resting and exploring. Our family-owned and operated hotel offers 50 rooms, all with high-speed internet access, with rooms overlooking the Manatee Pocket or our pool. With an outstanding full-service marina and a fun gift shop, Pirates Cove Resort and Marina offers something for everyone. For more information, we can be reached at 772-287-2500 or online at piratescoveresort.com.
I'll give thanks to you, Lord, and sing praise to your name, O Most High. I'll declare your love in the morning.